have Dr. Clinton Leo Greenstone. He's an executive director, Clinical Integration, Office of Community Care, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So we have a very special official here today who is actually doing a great things for our veterans across the country. And today's discussion is coronavirus vaccines, safety, efficacy, and implications of clinical usage. Very good. This is one of those subjects that's near and dear to my heart. It's on every station. So I'm so glad to have you here, Dr. Greenstone, to discuss this issue. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Hope you can hear me okay.
Doing very well.
Excellent.
So tell us about this coronavirus. You know, everyone is calling it. We have some people calling it, previously calling it the Kung Flu and all kinds of other things. But we need to redefine this virus in modern times. So tell us about it and what these vaccines do, why it's important to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I think this is, this is a historic time for us in this country. You know, we've been a little over a year into this pandemic from this virus. And, we have learned just a tremendous amount over this last year in terms of what this virus is, what it can do, how we struggle with trying to find good, effective treatments. And that's why so much energy has been placed into creating and developing the vaccines. And we're seeing a new vaccine just came on the market here that had not approval, but emergency use authorization by the FDA. And that's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And that's really important for us because, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a one-dose vaccine.
Yes.
Additionally, it can stay at refrigerator temperatures for a month. So it really helps with the supply chain and the distribution. And that's especially important, in the VA, we have a not, unfortunately, insignificant number of homeless veterans. And sometimes it's tough to get them in for two shots, right? We have a lot of, veterans who may have a hard time coming in. And so if we can get that one shot in, it can actually increase significantly the number of people who have a full level of vaccination. So that's a really important point about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. And it's really, it's been shown to be safe and effective. And, about 84%, I think it was preventing severe disease and, going into an intensive care unit, exactly the place you don't want to go. Right. And so this is really very incredible. So, one of the things, too, I've been hearing about, and I've been talking about this for months, is this Tuskegee study. But, what happened with that study from 1932 to 1972? Was 40-year time period. They never vaccinated anyone with syphilis. Some people are giving misinformation about that.
That's correct.
They diagnosed people with syphilis and then didn't treat them with penicillin. So wouldn't this be the same thing if we didn't give people the vaccination, access to that? We would watch the unnatural unfolding of COVID-19. You would get the disease and you have a safe and effective prevention mechanism, just like the penicillin that could treat syphilis. It could eradicate the problems down the road. So we don't want to recapitulate the Tuskegee study by not vaccinating people.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, but you're absolutely positively correct. That study, unfortunately, it started before penicillin was available, right?
Yes.
So people were trying to learn the natural history of syphilis. So people got it naturally. It wasn't given to anyone. Yes. But unfortunately, this is what was so troubling, was that when people did have access to penicillin, it was not given, right?
Right.
It was not given.
Yes.
And because we have effective vaccines, and I think it's so important for people to really understand just the point that you made, which is that 84% of the people who got this vaccine did not get severe disease, ending up in the hospital, and zero deaths, right?
Right.
So none of the people who got the vaccine died. So the main reason for this vaccine is to try and prevent people from getting very sick and from dying. And so don't be afraid that, this vaccine isn't as good as the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. No. This vaccine prevented just what we wanted it to do, people from getting extremely sick and hospitalized on ventilators and people from dying. So that is critically important for people to recognize, because I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to take the Johnson & Johnson. I'm going to take the Pfizer because it's 95%. Well, you're talking, the efficacy is very, very similar. at preventing what we really care about, which is severe disease and death. So you make a super point there, Dr. Arnold.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's a fantastic point. You know, back on February 28th, I was watching the mall with all the candles and the luminaries, you know, with the reflection pool and, you know, the Washington Monument. And one of the things I thought about, and I just did this one quick calculation, and we had about 502,000 deaths at that point. And I said, what would have happened if we had this vaccine in December of 2019 and people got vaccinated in the first month or two? And when I calculated the efficacy of the vaccines against, that number of people who died, I came up with 467,800 people would have been saved.
Saved.
And 25, we would have had a death toll of about 25,000, but we may not even have had that, since what you were saying is that none of those people died who had received that vaccine. So,
right.
You know, going forward with all these, I know how to talk about the variants that are out there and how that sort of mixes in with the picture. But, maybe you can talk about, you know, so we want to prevent this from going, keep occurring, right? It's like watching a car accident and letting cars keep piling up. So why should we be doing that? And, so how important is this vaccine for our future?
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important. You know, and, you know, we look at the people who really suffered disproportionately from this, right?
Yes.
We're talking about Black and brown people.
Yes.
Are we talking about people with severe disease?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the people we should be honoring most, a lot of veterans. We're talking about our elderly, who we should be respecting, right?
Yes.
We don't want to lose anybody, and we don't want to lose these people. And I think that the vaccine, what it helps us do is, you know, we want to try and get back to some sense of normalcy, right? We want to get back to being able to seeing our friends and our families and giving them hugs, right? And in order to do that, and to do that safely without increasing the risk of people dying, what we have is prevention. I mean, this is tremendous. You know, as physicians, right, we know we struggle with treating people. We have a lot of chronic diseases we lose. So if we can prevent disease, I mean, it is tremendous when we can prevent people from suffering and getting ill, and that's exactly what these vaccines do. And the other point about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, remember, they did studies on the Johnson & Johnson in South Africa.
All right.
With the South African variant.
Yes,
okay?
Right.
And again, zero deaths, Dr. Arnold, zero deaths.
Yes.
So you have a variant, and it means that, yes, some people may have gotten some symptoms, but they did not get severe disease, and they did not die even in the face of being exposed to the variant of South Africa. Okay? That's another really important point.
Yeah, so Dr. Greenstone, sounds like you're saying, so if I go in to get my vaccinations, I actually got my second dose today of Moderna, so I'm still living here. You know, I tell people, when I was in the military, I got shot with everything known to mankind. I got anthrax, I got yellow fever, I got, you know, smallpox they even gave us, you know, you name it. So those things, you know, I'm still living, I'm still here. It was 26 years in the military, 10 years ago I retired. I still have not had any kind of repercussions from that. So from what you're saying, I think it's important that do you believe that people, no matter what vaccines available to them, whether it's Moderna, Pfizer, or you know the Johnson & Johnson, and down the road maybe AstraZeneca, they should be taking it?
That's exactly right. You know, so in the Department of Veterans Affairs, you know, where I work, and you can go on our VA.gov website and you can see all of our numbers. You know, we started off by having the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. And we distributed this to all of our VA medical centers, right? And we had to use our best methods to get it out to some of our rural veterans and some of our rural clinics,
yes.
Right? And so we have delivered somewhere around, you know, 1.7 million doses, at least the initial dose. And we have about, 1.5 million veterans who've been vaccinated. And so we now have access to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as well.
Right.
And so we feel very strongly, as a CDC, as an NIH, to be able to use any vaccine that is readily available to you. And it's going to be helpful for us if we're getting it out to some of our rural clinics to be able to keep it, because some of those rural clinics don't have that minus 70-degree freezer, right?
That's right.
So, and a lot of our FQHCs, those federally qualified health centers, right, don't have some of those same freezers. And so being able to get it out into the Johnson & Johnson, out into some of these rural areas, get it out into some of these clinics that take care of some indigent populations, it's going to make a significant, significant difference by using that vaccine, which is easier to deliver, easier to store, and to get that one shot in, that will be very, very, very effective. So whatever is available to you in your local area, wherever you are, we strongly encourage it. And as Dr. Arnold has said, he's been through lots of vaccines and is still here. We don't have long-term studies on these vaccines, but we don't have time to wait, yes. Right? We've already lost over, 510,000+ people. We don't have time to wait. We have to act now.
Yeah, that's fantastic, fantastic. And you sort of triggered a thought, too, is that, we have so many people who have been lost to this. About 98% of the deaths have happened in people 50 years or older. But people also may exacerbate or make their chronic diseases or even start a chronic disease by getting COVID-19 and not being
that's
vaccinated.
Right.
So we don't know how that's going to unfold with the chronic diseases. And, I was thinking about some of the myths that are out there. And, people were saying, they're putting a microchip in me. And I said, if you're worried about being tracked, get rid of your credit card and get rid of your cell phone. I don't really believe in that kind of stuff. But, with respect to pregnancy, the ACOG has said, that pregnant women who are lactating, and that this doesn't have any kind of relationship that they can even see or conceptualize at this point of a relationship about fertility. So how do you think with this whole thing, going to medical advice, making sure that, you speak to your provider, and that's advice for any kind of recommendation, right? But what do you think about that, about women, who are pregnant and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that, we're dealing with, this horrible pandemic, this crisis right now. We want to give the best, safest advice to people. And what we're finding, as you mentioned, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ACOG, has weighed in about the recommendations that if you don't have a lot of other immunologic diseases and the like, but are pregnant or lactating, that they have not found any harm in using giving the vaccine, is my understanding at this point.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. And I think it's important because they were mentioning that, pregnant women have a worse outcome if they do get COVID-19.
That's right.
During their pregnancy, especially, towards labor and delivery. So we really have to watch out for that. And then also, we have, things going on in our communities where we have a higher disease burden as far as chronic diseases and, communities of color. And especially with if you look at Englewood and Chicagoland area, for example, 6 times the national average for asthma. And what I've been hearing is that, if you get sick with COVID-19 and you get placed on a ventilator with asthma, it can be much more difficult for you to come off. So, what kind of systemic effects can this thing do in your body that you're aware of?
Yeah. Well, that's really an incredibly, two incredibly important points. One is that, even sort of people who have chronic diseases who aren't 75 or 65 years old have a more difficult time if they actually get this virus. So the virus, SARS-CoV-2 causes the COVID-19 symptoms, the disease itself. Mm-hmm. And not only do we get that lung disease, the pneumonia that we're talking about, the severe respiratory disease, but remember, it can affect the kidneys. We can affect the blood vessels. We see blood clots.
Our kidneys,
as you know, have these delicate little vessels in there. When they get clogged, you can have people with mild kidney disease get COVID and end up on dialysis machines because they have kidney failure. People who have asthma, who are already having a difficult time breathing, who then get COVID-19 in their lungs, will have a way more difficult time, one, not ended up on a ventilator, and then if you do end up on a ventilator, the chances of getting off are so very small. So that population of people with chronic diseases, heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, will benefit the most from not ending up ill in the hospital or even dying from this disease. And as you know, there's a population that they're studying right now who have long-term COVID.
Right.
People who have long-term symptoms from COVID, from
the long haulers,
headaches,
mm-hmm.
the long haulers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them end up with some lung disease. They end up with fatigue. They end up, having these symptoms for we don't even know how long yet, because we're still, you know, we're still early in the overall natural history, if you will. So we really want to emphasize how important it is for that population with chronic illnesses to please consider taking a vaccine.
Yeah, and people don't have to go to the extreme. I did. I became a vegan about 2-3 years ago now. And, vegetarians, but eating more fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing in your diet. But the things that we do eat, as you were mentioning, very heavy meat-laden diets, a lot of fats and saturated fats and those kinds of things clog the arteries. So this is, the COVID-19 layers right on top of that. So I'm really interested in seeing what these studies are going to show, whether this is going to actually make chronic diseases worse. So if you have an underlying chronic disease, as Dr. Greenstone was saying, asthma or, sarcoidosis or, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or heart disease, kidney disease, get vaccinated, and if you're immunosuppressed, get vaccinated.
Absolutely. One of the advantages, we have within the Department of Veterans Affairs, as you know, we've got 9 million veterans who are enrolled in VA healthcare. Mm-hmm. About 6.5 to 7 million of them see us every year. Yes. We are reaching out to those veterans, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's one of the things that our leadership is really emphasizes, that they want every VA medical center who has a population of veterans. We, being the largest integrated healthcare system in the United States, have access to knowing who's in our system, who's in our network, what diseases do they have. So we're reaching out to veterans to say, please come in and get vaccinated with us. Mm-hmm. And we, unfortunately, have had over 230,000 cases. We've lost over 10,000 veterans from COVID-19. And we've got 5,000 active cases right now in employees and veterans in our system. And we have vaccinated, over 30% of all those people, veterans and staff, right? Mm-hmm. So we're reaching out to these folks. We're reaching out to our veterans with chronic disease. Please respond to us. Please come into your medical centers. We want to get you vaccinated. And the role that I play in the VA, which is making sure that veterans have access also to care that the VA pays for outside of the VA. So we have partnered with CVS. We have partnered, with Walgreens and other pharmacies around the country, so that for people who may not be able to get into a VA or maybe far from a VA, because I know you have an audience all over the country, we want them to know, too, that they also have access to the vaccine. All right? So if you can't make it to a VA, it's also available to you out in the community at no cost. So that's another important message I wanted to give. We have veteran listeners out there who may not be close to a VA medical center.
Oh, yes. And you're being heard all over the world right now. We actually are a world broadcast. So we have veterans everywhere, stationed everywhere, right? And, my niece, Leah Nicole Bowers Apraka, is her birthday today. And I had to yell out to her. But my other niece, Nicole Lynch, pray for her, because she's doing very well, recovering. But the other medical conditions that can happen that are also not related to COVID-19, and then having so many people go into the healthcare system, you actually help people by not getting sick from COVID-19, right? Because our emergency department's going to become overrun. And that actually decreases the quality of care for things like heart attacks. I was talking to someone about data that's coming out of Harvard and other places, but it's showing that you can't dilute your healthcare workforce and overrun them with all these cases. And one of the things you can do to help is by wearing a mask, physically distancing 6 and 8 feet, even if you do get vaccinated. And,
that's exactly right.
Washing your hands and making sure that you follow public health protocols even after you've been vaccinated fully. And usually you get the fully vaccinated about 2 weeks after your second dose, for the Pfizer and Moderna. You are considered to be in the zone of being fully vaccinated. And it's about 2 weeks after the Johnson & Johnson as well, from what I understand. So, what do people need to do? Because now we're hearing about Texas dropping all their restrictions. We're talking about Florida is like lit up in bright red as far as variant strains. It's like the leading state, for all of that. So what do we need to be telling people to stop this?
It's still dangerous. It's still dangerous out there. We're not out of the woods. We've seen a fall, but it's kind of plateaued at 60, 70,000 cases a day still, around the country. And even if you've been vaccinated, the idea is this. We don't definitively know if you've been vaccinated that you don't get infected, meaning that you don't even have virus that you could spread to others. So we want, even if you've been vaccinated, we still want you to wear a mask, right, to potentially protect others. To your point about protecting other people, because we don't want to overrun hospitals with COVID and then you to lose hospital beds and ability to do surgeries and take care of other people, right? So we want to keep people out of the hospital with COVID so we can maintain our ERs and our in-hospital care for other sick patients. So even if you've been vaccinated, we still want you to wear a mask. If you haven't been vaccinated, please, please follow these guidelines, which still say wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands. These things are still critically important. We are not out of the woods yet. We still have, 80% of the United States hasn't vaccinated yet for those. So we still want to try and prevent disease. In places around the country that are opening up and removing their mask mandates in various states, it may be premature. We want to push vaccination, and I think that's really important. We do want to, our economy is in shambles in many ways, but it's starting to come back a little bit. Senate passed the Recovery Act today, going to the House. That's going to help by getting more money out into the economy, getting money to the people who need it, unemployment, extensions, more, $1,400 for folks. This makes a difference for our economy. People still need to be able to work. If they're going to work, help them by distancing, wearing your mask, and keeping people safe.
Fantastic news. I mean, that makes me feel better and better. I got my second shot today. the money is starting to flow to our people who need it. And the sun is shining. I can't believe that in Chicago. But, I wanted to, one thing. We have a couple of minutes to go. But what I want you to do is give some place for people to get more information from your website, because I think that's education is the key here. For people to really understand things, and you educated the public just now and our veterans. And what is the key things that you want to take home to people? You've mentioned some very important things already, but what would be your final message to everyone who's out there?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Arnold. I think one of the most important things is this. So I want to just let all of our veterans know, if you have access to the internet, please use VA.gov. Because it's the entire VA system. That means Veterans Healthcare, which we're talking about, the branch that I work for, Veterans Benefits Administration, and the National Cemetery. We have information about all of that at VA.gov. You can get everything I've talked about today is available online. It is transparent. As a federal agency, Congress wants to make sure that we let everyone know publicly how much vaccine we're putting out there, how many veterans have unfortunately passed away from this. So the message out there is use that website to learn about it and then learn about how you can get vaccinated, right? So you can go and there's phone numbers locally for where you live. You put in your zip code, it'll tell you here's the nearest VA, here's the medical center you can go to. But please understand, as Dr. Arnold has emphasized, the vaccine is safe. It is efficacious. It prevents people from getting sick and dying, right? And now with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, if that's available, please take that one shot and you're good to go.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Clinton Leo Greenstone. You have saved a lot of lives by the words you just used, and people need to listen to you and follow those recommendations clearly. And clearly you are the person that we need in that VA helping us get through this healthcare crisis and on regular days as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.